Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Galilean man, the name that is above all names. Amen. That in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Hallelujah, man. You know, I was just thinking as our Arise children were dancing and just worshiping. You know, I'm so thankful and excited that our Arise children are literally growing up in a house of miracles. You know what I'm saying? Like, not just because we're a church and this organization that gathers together on Sunday mornings to worship, but because we are a body of believers that come together on a Sunday morning because we're hungry for more of God. We're completely surrendered to the presence of God, completely submitted to the Holy Spirit and everything that comes with Him. You know what comes with the Spirit? Power. The Holy Spirit is the power of God in action on this earth, in our lives, and through our lives. And the result of our submission to the Spirit and moving with Him is the miraculous. Amen? This is just who the Father is. Do you understand that He's in the life-changing business? Woo! He doesn't know any better. Did you know that God's power is not for Him, it's for you and I? He doesn't keep Him to Himself, He gives it to you and I. He's the God of action, that's why the Spirit came. It's another thing I was just thinking about. Did you know that we're also a house of miracles? See, we're full of the Holy Spirit and power. You and I are fully loaded in the best way, which means, watch, everywhere we go, we get to be a living, walking encounter. As we love people, as we serve people, as we lay hands on the sick, as we share the gospel. And the result is, the byproduct, the overflow is the miraculous. Come on, it's miracles to us, but it's normal for God. It's just who He is. God's inviting for the miraculous to be a normal part of our everyday life. Amen. Oh my gosh, this is so fun. This is not the message. I want to bring a short message to you this morning because we have something else really amazing coming up at the end. But and really this morning, all I want to do is share the gospel. Why wouldn't you just share the gospel at Christmas time? And I want to start here. I just want to remind you this morning that Jesus is the reason for this season. Listen, just really simply, but so profoundly, Jesus is the reason for this season. Like, do you understand that Jesus was born to be crucified so we could be fully alive? That's it. That's why He came. Born to be crucified so we could be fully alive. And I'm talking about like fully alive. I'm not talking about like I'm dead and like I'm breathing. I'm talking about like fully, like abundant life. See, God gave up His Son Jesus so that every area of our life could experience abundance. And if you're here this morning and there's a part of your life that's not fully alive, I came bringing good news. I came with the good news of the gospel. And here's the good news. Jesus came and was crucified for you. That's the gospel. Christ crucified for you. He hung on a cross and shed His blood. And the Bible describes His blood as precious blood. His blood was not ordinary. It was extraordinary. His blood was so powerful that it won the victory over everything in our life. So if there's a part of your life that's not fully alive, man, Jesus won the victory over it. Listen to me, church. The cross is not just this story that we're in awe of. Something happened that day 2,000 years ago. Real blood fell on real ground. And that real blood cleanses real sinners like you and I. And it does much more than that. It brings healing and restoration to our lives inside and out. I'm here to encourage you this morning. The victory's been won. The deed's been done. The price has been paid. The foundation's been laid. The blood has been shed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, inside and out. The blood of Jesus leaves no part of any person untouched this morning. Are you happy? This is the gospel. No one leaves the same way they came in this morning. I hope you didn't come for a warm and fuzzy Christmas message. Jesus is not warm and fuzzy, but he will set you on fire. And you'll run out of this church blazing a trail with him. Woo! This is why he came. This is what Christmas is about. Oh, my gosh. See, the other part of this would be found in Luke chapter 9, verse 24. It says, if you hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you let go of your life for the sake of Jesus Christ, you'll actually gain a life worth living. See, sometimes there's parts of us that's not fully alive because we're hanging on to things that God's been telling us to let go of. Are you with me? Like, I'm just being serious. Like, I hope you came to encounter the Savior of the world, the one that was born to be crucified so you could be fully alive in every part of your life. And sometimes we're hanging on to things and God's going, I've been asking you to let go of that. And you know his voice. John 10:4 says, we are sheep that know the voice of God. Somebody say, bah. You know it, whether it's an unhealthy relationship, whether it's an unhealthy addiction, an unhealthy lie that you've just been coping with, whether it's the amount of money that God's been telling you to sow into the kingdom, but you've just been hanging on to it because you're afraid you're going to run out. I'm here to remind you this morning that the kingdom of God is upside down. The more we sow into the kingdom, the more room we have to receive more. And the more that we receive is not just for us, it's also for the sake of the world around us. Are you with me? This is the kingdom. This is why he came. Whatever part of your life that you're hanging on to, you're missing out on the way that God wants to truly fulfill and satisfy that part of your life because he's such a good father. He gave up everything so that every part of us could be fully alive. If you hang on your life, you lose it. But if you let go of it for the sake of Jesus, you'll gain a life worth living. See, Jesus gave up his life so that we would give up ours, so that we could actually have one. And look, I've shared this before. It doesn't cost you anything. The only person it cost was Jesus. I know some of you, it's quiet because some of you go, no, Wes, you got to stop doing this and give up this and sacrifice here. Is it really a sacrifice if what you're getting is greater than what you had? Does it really cost you something if what you're letting go of is something God never intended for you to have to begin with, and what you're gaining is the abundant life through the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Blessed be our Lord and Savior. You look at me, church, it's time to be all in. Yo, I'm telling you, it is time to run with Jesus with the reckless abandonment because we believe that he loves us. For God so loved the world. We believe that he paid a price for us to have the very best. It's time to stop settling for less. It's time to stop selling yourself short and just saying, God, I'm all yours, I'm all in. And watch the result be the abundant, full life. Are you happy this morning? Are you ready this morning? Born to be crucified so we could be fully alive. Jesus is the reason for the season. You know, it's this time of year, it's so fun. For we make sure we tell Jethro. Jethro's our little 3-year-old boy, for those of you who've never met him, and we have Blaze, a little 1-year-old boy. And Blaze just can't quite understand, but we tell him anyway. We just put seeds in his heart, you know. But we tell Jethro, do you know why we like decorate a tree and decorate like the house and put lights up? Because it's like, you know, it's kind of funny to think about. Like, you know, so our family has this tradition every year. We go to Pine Hill Farms and we cut down a tree. And it's just like, oh, it's so fun. And I kind of grow my beard out a little bit longer this time of the year. And I got the saw on my toboggan, even if it's hot outside in November. You know, and it's just cut this tree down. And then we put it on top. This year we put it on top of the car. And it was so cool. We're sitting on the car and Jethro was all like, there's a tree on our car. Like, this is the greatest thing in the world, Dad. Like, why don't we do this more often, you know? Why don't we just do this one time a year? And so we take the tree home and we drag it in the house and pine needles go everywhere. And I'm the neatest person on the planet, so I spend the whole month of December vacuuming our living room. And I'm doing it with just such joy because the birth of Jesus is worth it. And so that's what we tell Jethro. Jethro, the reason we decorate a tree and put up lights, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. And his birth is unlike any other birth. The day he was born, it marked our world for an eternity. Jesus is the reason for the season. I heard somebody say this year. You know, Christmas is such a pagan holiday, and it's all about retailers making extra money. Don't bring that pagan stuff in here. Listen to me right now. Jesus is the reason for this season and every season. But it just so happens to be that this is the season that we pause to celebrate the fact that he was born to be crucified so we could be fully alive. Are you with me this morning? Listen, isn't it true? Like, if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and in John 15:5, he says you can do no good thing apart from him. So isn't anything you do apart from Jesus, isn't that all pagan? Right? You know what I'm saying? Like this Christmas season, if it's all about the gifts and not the one true gift, then yes, it's pagan. Like anything you do apart from Jesus is pagan. But if everything, if your world revolves around him, and your yes is to him is bigger than your no to anything else, and everything you do, then it's just one big celebration in life with Jesus Christ. Are you with me? So Merry Christmas. Bring on the hot cocoa. Light the tree up. Bring on the tinsel. Jesus is born. Are you with me this morning? No birthday like it. Man, there's so many different holidays that celebrate countless lives. I mean, you got Veterans Day, Memorial Day, and Independence Day, and Columbus Day, and all these amazing days that celebrate all these amazing people that did amazing things. But there's one life that stands above the rest. It's the life of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Man, the day he was born, it was so dramatic and so powerful that it affected our globe forever. If you were to look at a glimpse at the whole timeline of human existence, you would see amazing things, amazing people that did amazing things, but there'd be one mark that shined brighter than all the other. It'd be the day that Jesus was born. Everybody before his birth anticipated his arrival. Do you know our history actually hinges upon the birth of Jesus? That's how we know our history. B.C., everything took place before Christ. Everything after Christ is A.D. History hinges upon the birth of Jesus. Everybody before his birth anticipated his arrival. Everybody after his birth looks back in reverent awe and wonder and thankfulness to be crucified so we could be fully alive. No one leaves this place without being fully alive this morning. Inside and out, upside down, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, the blood of Jesus has been spilled for you. And he's in the room. We're not worshiping no baby this morning. We're worshiping a mighty, mighty Savior this morning. Somebody ought to get more excited than this, man. It's Christmas. You know, truly, truly the light of the world came. The one true light that all humanity was looking for was birth. You know, I think we think of in terms oftentimes that, you know, and this is true, we are the light of the world, but Jesus was the first light. He's the reason that we get to be the light of the world. Here's what it says in the book of John. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, the Word it's referring to is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And through him all things were made, and nothing was made that wasn't made by him. And in him is life, and his life is the light of all mankind. And this light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. John 1, 1 through 5. The one true light. What's in him is life, and this life is the light. And darkness doesn't know what to do with it other than to surrender to it. Did you know, everybody look at me real quick. Did you know that darkness is actually looking for light? The most godless of people, the most heathen of people, people that don't want to have anything to do with God, they're looking for the light, whether they realize it or not. Are you with me? Some people go, man, it's such a dark world we're living in. Yeah, it's really dark if the light in you, you don't allow it to shine through you. Then everything's going to look dark. But when we allow the light in us to shine through us, nothing looks dark. Everything looks like an opportunity for people to encounter the one true life and light of the world, Jesus Christ. Are you with me this morning? This world's not dark. Jesus was born. The one true light came. Oh my goodness. You know, this is that time of the year. You know, we open up the Bible and we begin to read the Christmas story. And I have favorite parts of the Christmas story. I mean, they're all good. You know what I'm saying? They're all good. I have favorite parts of it. And I think my favorite part is when the angel of the Lord visits Mary and tells her she's going to become pregnant. Now, listen, we ought to read this story more often. Now, this time of the year, man, I go to the book of Luke, and I read this story 15, 20 times. If I'm not reading it, I'm thinking about it. And the Holy Spirit's just showing me new things all the time. You know, the one true light came so that you and I could have joy in the Lord, so that his joy could become our strength. Are you with me? You know what the joy is? The joy comes from knowing that God cares. He cares about you. He sees you. He's for you. For a lot of people, this time of the year, it's a really tough time because it reminds you of what you don't have or where you're not or who you lost. And I don't know who this is for this morning, but I just want to declare this scripture. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Are you with me this morning? He sees you. He knows you. He cares about you. He's with you. And he's ready to meet you right where you are to bring restoration and healing in that part of your life because he cares. This is the joy of the Lord that becomes our strength every day of our life. That's why the one true light came. The one true light came so we could have peace. Peace that surpasses understanding, that comes from knowing that we are in a relationship with a Father that loves us and that's for us. And if he's for us, nothing could be against us. Oh my goodness, the one true light came so we could have hope, so we could wake up every day with this joyful anticipation of good because God is so good. And when we walk in hope, hope actually attracts the kingdom of God. There's no such thing as a hopeless situation, only hopeless people. When we walk in hope, it's impossible for our situation to not change because hope attracts the kingdom of God. See, the one true light came so we could have joy, so we could have peace, so we could have hope, so we could have freedom. All your sins have been forgiven and forgotten, Psalms 103:2. 1 John 1:7 says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Oh my goodness. And the result is a heart that's free. See, the one true light came so we could have real freedom. So our sins and mistakes of our past could be forgiven and forgotten. And we could be brand new every day we wake up. It's just Jesus, all you, all day, all the time. Boom. Jesus, man. The way, the truth, and the life. The one true light came to empower us to walk like him so that sin becomes few and far between and we now have a purpose, and our purpose is to partner with him to be the light of the world and change the world around us. Are you with me? I got all that from the Christmas story. Woo! My favorite part of the story, I believe, is when the angel visits Mary. Now, some scholars will tell you that Mary was 13 years old, some say 14, 15. Listen, she was somewhere between 13 and 16 years old. That's a young girl. That's a young girl. And the angel visits her. I'm sure she's a little frightened. She has no idea what's going on. I don't know that she had had this kind of encounter before. Like, have you ever had an encounter like that? Like an angel step in your room? Maybe some of you have. Because, you know, I don't know. This is the house of miracles. Okay, so... But the angel visits her and says, Mary, you've been chosen. Oh, my goodness. You've been chosen. You're going to give birth to a son. You're going to name him Jesus. He's going to be the Savior of the world. And the one true government is going to be upon his shoulders. And his kingdom is going to know no end. And then you get down to verses 36 through 38. And y'all, for me, this is where kind of the rubber meets the road. Okay? Because this is where Mary has to decide, do I really believe that God is who he says he is? Do I really believe him? We know that, like, she had to be doing something right. She was chosen to carry the Savior of the world. There's some sort of relationship there. But she had to decide, man, do I really believe in God? And so, verse 36, the angel of the Lord tells Mary, listen, Mary, even your sister Elizabeth at her old age has a child inside of her womb. And then the angel looks at Mary and says, for nothing is impossible with God. And then in verse 38, Mary goes, I sense it. She says, okay, I'll do it. Okay, she specifically says, be it unto me. I am the Lord's servant. Oh my gosh, man. See, Mary had to come to this place. Was her faith going to be in God, or was her faith going to be in her faith? This is huge, church. Watch. Because oftentimes we put our faith not in God and we don't realize that we put our faith in our faith, and then we realize that we don't actually have much faith. And if our faith is in our faith, then we only ever do things and pursue things that we can within our own strength. We only ever go after things that we're comfortable with. And I'm here to tell you, church, this morning, you were not born for the reasonable. You were born for the extraordinary. You were not born for the possible. You were born for the impossible. You were not born for the normal. You were born for the miraculous. This is who the Father is and what He's inviting us into. The same invitation He gives Mary, He's given to you and I. Will you put your faith in me? And when you do, the result is the impossible. We have the same invitation. And if we put our faith in Him, God goes, you'll begin to see the miraculous. You'll begin to see the impossible. See, Mary had to come to this place where she's like, I don't understand how it's all going to happen. I don't know how it's all going to work. I don't care what anybody else thinks about me, because God thinks the world of me, and His opinion of me is the only one that matters. So be it unto me. So here's another part. See, faith doesn't just believe in God. It believes with God. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, because we believe, therefore we speak. Because we believe, we speak. Because we believe, we step out in faith. See, Mary came to this place. She was like, my faith is in God. So be it unto me. And she became pregnant with the Savior. That's us. Our faith is in Him. Because we believe, we speak. Be it unto me, God. I'll carry the Savior with me everywhere I go. I'll step out in faith to see the impossible happen, because people are worth it. You're a God of action. You're in the life-changing business. It's who the Father is. You were born for the miraculous. You were born for the supernatural, which is just another great reminder that, did you know, there is nothing that's not supernatural about Christianity. Nothing is not supernatural. Christian birthed from the supernatural. A virgin 13-year-old girl gave birth to the Savior of the world. People go, I don't know about this supernatural. I don't know about this. The Holy Spirit and His power, I got the Bible. You know, that's all I need. Well, the Bible, every word that you read was inspired by the one you don't think you need. The Holy Ghost. The Bible says that the Spirit inspired every word that man wrote. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, we have a supernatural God with a supernatural Bible and a supernatural church and a supernatural gospel. And it began with Mary saying, be it unto me. Here I go. Be it unto me. I want to tell you this morning, church, God is a God of power. It's just who He is. In Psalm 77:14, it says, I'm the Lord who performs miracles. I love to display my power among the people. 2 Corinthians 4:20 says, the kingdom of God is not just a matter of talk. It's of power. This is who God is. And He's inviting us into the kind of relationship where the miraculous becomes normal. The Holy Spirit spoke to me the other day and said, Wes, the miraculous gets to be as normal as breathing in your life. Not because of you, but because of Christ in you. Not because of you, but because you're full of the Spirit and power. Everywhere we go, we get to step out, man, in faith, the same way that Mary did. And the result is the impossible. It's just who the Father is. Look at me, church. Lean in with me. Just try it. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Do you understand that it is God's great pleasure to answer us? We're not twisting arms or begging Him to do something that's ultimately already been done. He said, I put you in position, man, to partner with me, to co-labor with me, to impact this world. So, it was a few years ago, I was spending time. It was Christmas time. I was reading the Christmas story, and I was just spending time with the Lord. And I began to think, man, what must have that have been like for Mary to, like, carry the Savior? You know, like I was kind of like, I love Bible characters. And, you know, it's funny we call them a character. I mean, they're people. I mean, these things really happen to them, just like things really happen to us. You know what I'm saying? And so I was just thinking, man, what must it have been like for Mary to, like, carry the Savior? Like, I wonder what kind of revelation she had during that time. Like, I wonder what her dream life was like carrying Jesus. And I'm thinking, man, what must it have been like for Mary to carry the Savior? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Wes, why don't you tell me? He said, hey, Wes. Man, why don't you tell me? Because you carry the Savior of the world with you everywhere you go. The Spirit said, Wes, you're just as pregnant as Mary was. And then he said, but the only difference is that Mary was carrying baby Jesus. You're carrying Savior Jesus. We're carrying the hope for every hopeless situation. Peace for every troubled mind. The cure for every disease. Healing for every sickness. The answer for every problem, his name is Jesus, born to be crucified so we could be fully alive. Woo! And he said, Wes, he spoke to me, he said, Wes, question. I said, sure. He said, what are you doing with him? He said, just to remind you, Mary gave birth to him and turned him loose. Everywhere you go, you get to give birth to Jesus and turn him loose. Everybody look at me. Christ in us gets to be Christ through us to change the world around us. I want to invite the Arise children to come on back in and get back in place. Listen to me. I think it's so amazing that you hear in John chapter 1, I quoted it a few minutes ago, it says that He is the life and the light of all mankind. So watch. If Jesus is the light of the world, but then in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, he says, and it's in red letters in our Bible, Jesus says, now you're the light of the world. Isn't that amazing? So watch, man. The one true light comes to live inside of us, and now we get to be the light of the world. Hallelujah. See, the light in us gets to be the light through us to change the world around us. And so look, here's my question this morning. As our precious Arise girls get ready to really bless us with another song, my question to you this morning is this. What are you doing with the Savior of the world? What are you doing with him? You're just as pregnant as Mary was. You're carrying the light of the world. Look at me, church. It's time to let our light shine. It's time to partner with God to be a light in this world because darkness is looking for the light. You were born for the extraordinary, born for the miraculous, born to partner with Jesus, to give birth to him everywhere you go and turn him loose. He is the light of the world, and the light of the world lives inside of you. Now you are the light of the world.
For a miracle, the heart longs for a little bit of hope. Oh, come, Emmanuel. A child prays for peace on earth, and she's calling out from a sea of hurt. Oh, come, Emmanuel. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Come on, give God glory. Keep giving him glory. Keep giving him glory. That was amazing. That was amazing. That was amazing. That was amazing. Come on. Now let's give our Arise girls a big hand this morning. Hey, this is what we want to do right now. Hey, all you kids, look at me just really quick. Go find your parents and sit next to them for this next part of the service, okay? Everybody, if you're a parent of one of these children, everybody, parents, stand up so they can find you. Parents, stand up so they can find you real quick. Go find moms and dads. Hallelujah. Man, so coming around is going to be, we're going to start lighting these. If you got your candle, you can pull it out right now. Let me just go ahead and invite, I tell you what, let's just go ahead and have everybody stand up. We're just going to get ready to receive this morning and get clear this morning as you hold your candle. In him is life. And his life is the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Church, I want to tell you something this morning. You truly are the light of the world. And this morning, as we light these candles and we sing this Christmas carol, I don't want it to be us just commemorating or remembering the fact that Jesus was born. I want this to be a commissioning for us this morning. I want this to be an empowering time for us this morning to literally say, yes, Jesus, we're ready to partner with you, to let our light in us, to shine through us, to change the world around us this morning, okay? As you light your candle, man, just begin to hold it up and just begin to pray right where you are. Just begin to commit to Jesus for the rest of this year in 2021, man. And we're committing to burning for you, Jesus, because you're the only one worth burning for. We're committing, Jesus, man, to partner with you. We're committing, Jesus, to put our full faith in you, to step out. And we thank you, Jesus, that the result is going to be the miraculous. The result is going to be the impossible, bending the knee at the name of Jesus. Amen? This is a commissioning time. This is an empowering time as we sing this next song, as we go and tell it on the mountain that Christ Jesus has been born. Let me say this morning too. This will be the close of our service. And so when you're through worshiping and you feel dismissed, man, you're free to go. If you need prayer for anything this morning, I'll be hanging around. Come meet with me. I'd love to pray for you. If you have sickness in your body, man, we'll pray for you this morning. Find somebody, lay hands on each other, man, and watch Jesus get what he paid for. Amen? If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then you're certainly not fully alive yet. I'm not being mean. I'm just being truthful. This is the gospel. Christ was crucified so that you could be fully alive. And it's a simple prayer, but we mean it in our heart. Romans 10:10, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in him with our heart, we shall be saved. Amen? If you need Jesus to come live on the inside of you this morning, this is what it's all about. Come find me, man. We'll go there. And Jesus will gladly come make his home inside of you. Hallelujah. Whatever you need this morning, man, Jesus is here. Not baby Jesus, King, Savior Jesus. He loves you. Man, let's hold our light up. And let's go tell the whole world that Jesus was born. Let's let the light in us be the light through us to change the world around us. Amen.